to me, there has to be, not has to be, but I mean, there should be inertly inside of you. There inertly should be a value of purpose that you're providing a value to give back to the people.
Welcome to Stay Paid Real Estate Marketing. Unlock the secrets of success in the real estate world, where each episode delivers valuable tips and strategies to elevate your marketing game and help you succeed in both life and business. Brought to you by Reminder Media.
This podcast is brought to you by Reminder Media, the company that keeps the lights on in our studio, including our Take Action sign behind us. Luke and I have worked together over the last 20 years to help small business owners stay top of mind with a mission to help them generate more repeat and referral business. We help business owners with everything from lead generation, print marketing, social media content, geographic farming, and more.
We've had the opportunity to help over 100,000 entrepreneurs over the last 20 years. It's really been amazing. If you'd like to see how we can help you and your business, be sure to check out remindermedia.com/staypaidmarketing. That's remindermedia.com/staypaidmarketing. Take action on that today.
Welcome to Stay Paid Real Estate Marketing. My name is Joshua Stike, along with Luke Acree, and our guest today is Charles Moore. Charles is an entrepreneur specializing in sustainable solutions in a diversity of industries, including real estate, that are geared towards purpose, people, and the planet for a healthy future for our next generations. Charles, welcome to Stay Paid. Thanks for being here.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Charles, man, excited to talk to you. I mean, we were just talking before we came on. Obviously, there's a big inventory in real estate that's not going to be solved anytime soon. I want to get your thoughts on, you know, outside of the box housing and some thoughts that maybe real estate agents could look at. But I would love to hear your entrepreneurial journey, right? What got you into being an entrepreneur and building your business?
Yeah, no, it's been quite a journey and so many unforeseen obstacles. Life has thrown some crazy twists and turns at me. I never thought in a million years I'd even be sitting here where I am right now. So it all started when I was actually in college in my sophomore year. I wound up working for a commodities firm that specialized in computer chip distributions. Hmm. And I stumbled upon a raw material called polysilicon. And it's used for producing computer chips and solar cells. And the market was, it was there, but it wasn't. You know, back then, solar panels were almost $10 a watt, for example, where now you could buy panels for like 50 cents a watt.
Oh, wow.
And I stumbled into the scrap silicon market and thought, like, can we repurpose the scrap material? Because all of this is getting put into landfills. And long to short of it is I became a global leader in the byproduct and scrap materials, supplying the byproducts, even having to come up with terminology, even coming up with packaging and the logistics. And
so you created a market, basically. You created this.
Wow. I was a big part of creating the scrap polysilicon industry. And I was in my 20s. So all of a sudden, yeah, you got a kid who grew up very modestly in Long Island, going to college here, going to school to become a teacher, actually. You know, I still love educating. And, you know, I'm in my 20s and all of a sudden I'm traveling all over the place, working with companies all over the world. And it really felt like the movie Wolf of Wall Street because of how fast things were moving, like my life, you know, my life and everything and the whole yacht life and all that. And as I started moving forward, I started seeing like, okay, by about 2010-11 were peak years, but I saw that it was a diminishing market. And what I mean by that is my role as a broker was going to diminish because of what I was doing. I was helping companies to vertically integrate because by the time the material went from my hands into the finished product, and what we did is we helped supply materials that they could blend the prime material to help bring the solar prices down.
Hmm.
And companies started vertically integrating. So when I first got into the industry, it took 5 points of contact from my material to the finished product being shipped to 5 different places around the world. Yeah, it was crazy. So taking the scrap material, most of the time bringing that scrap material to companies that produce the ingots, then taking the ingots and moving it to another country that produces the wafers, then taking the wafers, moving it to the solar cells, and then taking the solar cells and moving it to the solar panels. And I was involved with all the it was great. I mean, at the time it was like the Wild West, you know, but when I was there, I started looking at, okay, helping these companies to vertically integrate. So there's less logistics. There's a significant reduction of the profit margins put in place by the middle companies to help bring a real consumer viable product to the marketplace, because energy is a big deal, you know, regardless of what people, you know, how people think and everything. I don't personally think the technology of the solar panels now are still where they should be. You know, back then it took more energy to produce a solar panel than that solar panel would ever put in return for its lifetime.
That's of production crazy, of energy. Man. That's crazy.
Yeah. And even still, there's a lot of energy. I mean, you're dealing with some nasty stuff, silane gas.
And then also doesn't like decompose, right? Not to get off on a solar train, but it like doesn't decompose. So it's kind of funny. It's ironic.
There's some nasty stuff in solar, in solar cells.
I'm curious on the business side, right? Of like building something like that, you have so many issues of like you have to sell by education. You're finding that pain point. You're creating the market. You said you're creating the packaging. When you look at like the journey, right, from a business perspective, looking back now, and maybe you translated this to your new company and what you're doing today and everything like that, but like what were the big principles and lessons that you would share with other entrepreneurs that, hey, you know, if you're getting into entrepreneurship or if you're in the entrepreneurship fight, these are some core things that I learned through the school of hard knocks, as they say.
Purpose, passion, and genuinity. You know, you need to live life being passionate every day, where you wake up and you feel gratification for what you're doing. And it really means a lot to have a purpose, to feel your own personal drive. And the passion of it, you have to be passionate about it, because that's deep within you. This is your core. And just really having that drive to go out there. And you have to be genuine about it. You know, you have to live by it. You know, there's so much fluff out there. I mean, in these digital days, you know, you have all these false coaches out there, and everyone's trying to scam you. You got this. You can get this. You can live like me, you know, just becoming another coach. And just, you know, it's, to me, there has to be, not has to be, but I mean, there should be inertly inside of you. There inertly should be a value of purpose, that you're providing a value to give back to the people, a true value. And regardless of what industry that is, and regardless of what niche that is, you know, it's important to come down to the core, not look outside around you and try to be the Joneses mentality, but really become who you are and bring that and make your name. Because at the end of the day, that's all you have. I mean, I named my company by my last name, Morco. And the reason I did that is my handshake is my bond. The only thing we have in life truly is our name. And that's the one thing I'll never tarnish. Mm. So that's the one kicker I would say to anyone who wants to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So good.
So talk about, how did you get from polysilicone into housing?
Well, I always, you know, that market really, it educated me, one, culturally, seeing global cultures and the global economies and how everyone was moving. And I saw that Western culture really has a major prevalence on that, you know, the whole methodology of the American dream. It really instills, whether countries want to admit it or not, you know, everyone's aspiring to have that American dream lifestyle.
Yep.
And I saw, though, that it was moving very much towards the throwaway society of the American dream, you know? You know, everything big, everything, you know, back to the Joneses mentality. And it's like, if you want to live like that, it's cool. It's on you, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad about it, but it just becomes to a point of being unsustainable. I mean, even in my prime, I was looking at my own personal burn rate and I'm like, why am I living like this? This is insane. Mm. So, what brought me here was, and here's that twist that got thrown at me. I guess this was God's way of humbling my ass real quick, was, I lived right on the water in Long Island. I had my yacht, I had all of my boats, and Hurricane Irene comes in, wipes me out, destroys my house. Boats lasted. Okay. I tied down very good, but they floated. The house got destroyed at the time. I had one child, and that was emotionally devastating more than financially. You know, I was in a good financial position to just kind of eat it. My family and I moved on the yacht for a little while. We rented a house in the meantime, and living on the yacht really made me realize, you know, you could have luxurious living in a minimalist physical space. Hmm. You know, I mean, we were traveling all over the place living on the yacht. I mean, we stayed down in North Carolina for a bit, down in Morehead City, visiting my brother-in-law at his Coast Guard station, and going kayaking and seeing dolphins and just seeing like, wow, this is really experiential living. So then I fix everything back up and, you know, lost a lot of inventory. Again, the market is diminishing because of the vertical integration. So the price points of the material weren't where they were. And then moved back into the house. And then 2012, I guess God said, again, you're not having this. And two, three weeks later, destroyed my house all over again after I fixed everything.
You did? What did? Like a storm or?
Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, Hurricane Sandy. Okay. I was like, what the?
Yo, so that one was
dude,
a big
fight. God wanted you on a yacht, my man. He didn't want you in a house. No.
No, exactly. So that was a major financial hit. That was a big one. We lost all of our inventory in our warehouse. At the time, I also created a clothing company in 2009 called Kush. Mm. I turned it into an acronym as well of keeping us sustainably healthy. So it was tied into the hemp industry, really geared towards the namesake and to target the younger demographic with the whole cannabis hemp industry, but to show again, the whole methodology of living with purpose, you know, I bought a lake house. Now I'm homeless. I have two kids now, you know, I can't even move my yacht. There's debris all over the place. The entire East Coast is destroyed. I can't even get fuel for the yacht. I can't move it. So I can't even run the generator to run the heat. This is like cold weather, end of October, going into November. Chaos. It was like a war zone in our neighborhood. I bought a lake house in Pennsylvania, up in the Poconos.
Oh, nice. Our neck of the woods. Well, technically far. Yeah. We're Philly, but, you know, Poconos not too far. Yeah.
And I fell in love with it. I mean, it's just for almost the whole year of 2013, I basically just chopped wood and just tried to refine myself. I'm like, all right, my market's dying. I'm not going to, you know.
Were you still running the business at this time, or you were, the business was kind of, you know, passively generating some income for you, but you had already kind of made your money and right now you're finding yourself?
Right now, just finding myself. Okay. I wasn't running anything. Okay.
So you're like a wild man out in the woods chopping wood. I love it.
Wore a big beard. My hair got all wild. And just so. And I started thinking and I was like, wow. All right, what just happened to me happened to a lot of people, and how can I find the balance? Where's that balance? And just started chopping wood and just thinking. My son at the time was only 6 months old when we got hit with that second storm, and I started thinking about food and water, you know, because I touched upon the energy industry. The energy industry is now moving forward, and what's great about it too is that the technology of that is moving into new technologies. To where we are going to see, I mean, keep your eye on a product called graphene. That is going to be the future of energy, and it's a carbon-based molecule, so it's completely decomposable.
Write that down, Ethan. I need some investment advice. Graphene. So graphene. Yeah. All right, there we graphene. Go. Hey, everybody, you just got heard it here first. No.
No. It's unbelievable. It's going to take over batteries, energy capacitors, supercapacitors, everything.
Wow.
So then I thought about food and water. And I'm like, okay, how can I get involved in this industry? And at the time I was like, you know what? I want to get involved with food. How can I help? Because I have kids now. I want my kids to be healthy and all the crap of processed foods are surrounding us.
Okay.
So I got involved with the ag industry and I got into native bees, not honey making bees. They don't make honey. And they're hole nesting bees. There's 1,100 species in the US that have this, but there's only one single managed species that's being used. And it's being used in almond orchards and strawberry fields and
interesting.
Such.
Interesting. For pollination, basically, or helping to.
Yeah. And it increases pollination about 400% per acre from the USDA study that we saw.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
I got involved with that. That was wild. I did a little presentation at the UN about that in 2015. And, you know, another lesson learned. I had a bad partner that I never signed. He never signed the partnership agreement. 2018, we are seen as the market leaders. It was never really a B2C product, but we're teaching backyard gardeners because to me, if we could turn a person's backyard into an environment to help create a managed population of those bees,
now we're
not just increasing our own personal garden food production, but now we can have a dispersion rate of increasing the population to increase the health of our you know, of the whole environment around us.
Now, how big can a company like that get? How big does a bee company get? Like,
that was why we were just selling bee houses.
Yeah.
And, we were doing maybe about $2 million a year just selling bee houses.
Just selling bee houses. Jeez, man. Wow.
So based on that methodology now, the bee houses, and that kind of what led me now here, I'm looking at the bee houses and I'm looking at, okay, cool. We have this cool solution. My partner screwed me. My business attorney said I earned my PhD. 10 days before my daughter was born, my fourth child now, you know, I literally get a phone call saying, you know, you're young enough and smart enough to make your next steps in life. So it's only fair to my wife and I that I earn more money because I'd like to retire soon. I thought it was a joke at first. I started laughing and it wasn't a joke. I'm like, oh my God.
Dude, it's a valuable lesson in business. Like the saying is don't trust anyone, you know, trust but verify in a way. But it's like, it's so true. You think you can, but you can't. You got to get it in writing. And the truth is you're helping them and you, because putting things in writing or dealing with those issues up front, you set proper expectations. Because we all have our horror stories in business of just like, you're just blown away. That you're like, no, I never would have thought this person would have done this. And they end up doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I took the entire methodology of his science and brought it to a consumer viable product, take market position as a leader of the world, you know, global leader, and did that. But you know what? These are great lessons learned. I have four children and it's just, you know, as my kids get older, I've lived it. I could walk them through it. And I'm happy that I had those.
Yeah, it's a great way to look at it. Yeah.
Going at me. So that's another entrepreneur thing for any of you guys listening. Contracts.
get a good accountant and a good lawyer when you're doing business.
yes. So then in 2018, I'm thinking about the whole thing with the bees, the whole sustainability. I'm living life on a mountain now. I have chickens. I have a garden. I'm loving this new balance. It's very different from what I was living before. You know, before I was like Wolf of Wall Street. Now I'm, you know, a mountain hermit chopping wood. And I was like, you know, mostly for the young people, because I have two much younger brothers and I didn't really see them. And even still now, they're only in their 20s now. They don't really have a great opportunity in being able to attain anything equitable as far as the domicile goes. Because of the inaccessibility.
Just because of the pricing?
Now, just as far as the 2022 census and trend, there's a shortage of 3 million homes. And that's predominantly due to the fact of the cost, the whole cost discrepancy. You know, a lot of these young people can't afford to even attain anything equitable because they're coming out of college with vast debt. They don't have credit history.
Yeah.
You know,
average home sale price in Q4 of 2023 was like $387,000 across the United States, which is insane. Like, that's nuts.
Yeah. So in 18, I was thinking about that back then before all the markets became chaos. And I started looking at how can I create something for the young people? What can I do? And I started looking at different building materials. At first, I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan. I mean, I am.
That my wife is too. Yeah, we named our dog Bilbo. He's no longer with us, but we named our dog Bilbo.
That's great. I definitely assimilate with Gimli.
Yeah. But,
That's we great. We I'm looking at this, and at first, I was looking at, all right, how can I create something scalable? So I was looking at like doing concrete. Concrete poured homes with domes. You know, domes are superior product. Prototyped a little bit of that, and it just logistically was a nightmare. Doing the R values was a nightmare. So then I looked back at my yacht, and I'm like, you know, the space that I had on my yacht was really great. What else could be a shape of that? And it brought me to shipping containers. And And I've dealt with a lot of shipping containers doing all the logistics and realizing the engineering and structural parameters of it. I mean, you have these things built to carry 60,000 pound payloads to be stacked 16 high on a ship going through the most adverse weather conditions there is. Wow. I don't think there's anything else out there that's more structurally sound. So in 18, I started coming up with some designs. And at the time, everyone's like, you're out of your mind. No one's going to live in a shipping container. So everyone, they're like,
well, dude, at this point, man, you're this mountain man that has lived in the mountains chopping wood. You go to bees and now you're just shipping containers. Your friends are probably like, what the heck is this guy?
Yeah. So I started looking at it. I started coming up with some really cool concept designs, and I'm looking and I'm watching other companies, some companies that are emerging into existing industries, but are taking leading industry positions. You know, for one was Tesla as an example.
Okay.
You know, regardless whether you like EVs or not, you know, personally I don't, but regardless if you like the EVs or not, his market positioning and the way he did it was phenomenal.
Unreal.
It was all about providing the highest level of convenience to the end user. So come to 2020, end of 2020, COVID. Okay. Everyone's losing their minds. You know, especially the urban people. New York City was a nightmare.
Yeah, like chaos.
No one could go anywhere. You couldn't, restaurants were closed down. I mean, my favorite restaurant shut down because of COVID. And I started seeing a mass migration of urban people coming up into the Poconos.
Hmm.
You know, all of a sudden I'm seeing G-Wagons all over the place and Ferraris and Bentleys. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? So, you know, private jets flying in, I'm 10 minutes away from a small, I'm like, what is going on?
That's nuts.
I started seeing that. And I think people realized, and I think COVID gave a big awakening, that people were more looking for quality of life in time and in nature and in experience and just slowing their own pace down and refining themselves.
Agree. Yeah.
So I reached out to a buddy of mine. I saw him post something on Facebook, and he owns RV parks and campgrounds.
Okay.
So I have no experience in that. I reached out to him. I've known him since grade school. I'm like, Muhammad, what do you think? Check this out. He's like, I want in. I'm like, okay. Reached out to an engineer buddy of mine. The guy is phenomenal. I mean, he did the entire refacing of the Macy's building, all with, you know, he's an IT guy and an architect and engineer, big Manhattan stuff.
Jeez.
Reached out to him. Anthony, what do you think about this? Dude, what is this? I'm like, well, it started as a sketch on a napkin. What do you think? And he's like, I want in. So we started redesigning, and the purpose, like our goal with this is we want to provide luxury living. So yacht, you know, like what I had on the yacht, but provide a space that's convenient to live and provide that luxury, but bringing the outdoors. I'm a big stats and data guy. I am on the computer all the time, just looking up stats, data, you know, market trends, market forecasting. The tiny home market right now, for instance, is a $17 billion market. It's projected to be over $30 billion by 2030.
Holy cow,
and the two
man.
Main groups that I see are the two largest population groups in this country that want what we have. And what that is that you have the retirees that want to scale down, but they don't want to diminish their quality of life, but they still want their dollar to go as far as possible because they need it to last, because they don't want to sacrifice what they've already been used to, not necessarily by living, but by living in a home, but by how they live their life outside, going out to eat, going to places, travel, the whole nine. The younger population group, and you guys probably heard this coined term quite a bit, is digital nomads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as they have the internet, they could do anything. I love them. Mm-hmm. I love working with young millennials and Gen Zs. They kick my ass with technology. I don't need to learn it. They know it. And I bridge the gap between them and you know, the retirees, you know, because the retirees don't really understand the Gen Zs, and Gen Zs don't really understand why the retirees think this way. You know, I'm a Zennial, you know, that millennial Gen X screwed up, never learned computers properly.
I'm a Zennial.
You know, my computer experience was, what was the name of that game back in the day?
Where you had to cross Oregon Trail.
Oregon Trail. Never yes. beat the game.
Yep. Never, always died of dysentery.
I loved Oregon, exactly. Oregon Trail in Age of Empires.
Age of Empires. AOE, man.
Oh yeah, man. Those were the games. Okay, so tell me this then with the housing, right? You're doing it by shipping containers and stuff like that. What is like an average house like priced or like the process of it? Like, why is it viable? So, because we have a ton of real estate agents that listen to this, and inventory is such a major issue right now. And this is an outside of the box concept. Yes. Like, what is the, how does the process work? What's the average price? How does that go about? Do they use you as a company to build it? Like, what is that process?
Yeah. So we actually have a few different solutions for the end users. And again, going back to the convenience value to the end users in the market, regardless who the end user is, if they're a landowner, a developer, or even just wanting their own domicile on their own piece of property, it's, with the end user particularly, let's just say if parents have a college-aged child, okay, and they're sitting on an acre plus property and they kind of want the kid out of the house, but they also want a cool investment deal, they could buy it as an ADU, as long as the municipality accepts ADUs, put it on their property, and when their child leaves, they could either leave it there and rent it out, or if their child finds a spot that they're like, cool, I found this cool piece of land, I bought this quarter acre, they can pick it up, we put it on a chassis, we move it and drop it down.
Wow.
So Adapt like is the name of the company. Mm. So it's Adapt Container Homes. And it's Adapt is an acronym as well. I'm big on acronyms. But it's an acronym of Apartment Dockage Advanced Portable Tenements. So
that's why.
That took a long time to figure out.
I'm looking at the wine picture behind you, and I'm like, he's drinking all this wine. It's like, here's what we call
it. Apartment Dockage.
Pretty much.
That's amazing.
So the reason why people should care about, so here's the thing, you know, dealing with a lot of municipalities, so many municipalities are against tiny homes. You know, there's a lot of restrictions on.
What is that because they think of them as ugly, or they think of them as like not viable for the normal population?
No, it's they think of it as
and as there's taxes
a, here's the thing. It's a bad stigma on trailer parks, and they're thinking of it as going to become a trailer park.
Gotcha.
And the whole methodology to this is that we have to retransform. Trailer parks have a really bad stigma. I mean, it's when you say trailer parks, it's almost degrading, and
yeah,
it shouldn't be that way. You know, everyone has to have a roof over their head. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's using high grade structural materials. I mean, our units are, these things are built like fortresses. They are, I mean, as far as longevity goes, they'll outlast any stick frame home being built today. I mean, that's the reason why I didn't even look at using the present lumber in the marketplace, because even when I'm seeing some homes being built, the homes in the early 2000s that were built, I'm already seeing structural issues.
Yeah, I could see that.
Want more leads in your business? Referrals are the way to go. Referrals are more likely to convert and even have an increased lifetime value over any other type of lead. So what's the secret to getting more referrals? Pretty simple. Offer great service and send something consistently to your database that keeps you top of mind. The first is up to you, but a personally branded magazine from Reminder Media can take care of the second. We even found in an independent survey that 84% of the magazine recipients said they're more likely to give a referral because of the magazine. If you're ready to increase your referral business, visit remindermedia.com/staypaidmagazine. That's remindermedia.com/staypaidmagazine. Take action on this today.
What's the range of pricing? Am I paying $100,000 for this, $300,000 for this? Like, what's the range? I'm sure you can obviously deck it out, of course, but like an average just range that you see for people. With it.
Yeah, so we have three models. We're really premiering what we call our Black Series model, which starts at 150.
Okay, that's not bad.
And then we have models ranging from basically it's a 90 to 150. You know, our Black Series model, we really pride ourselves on.
That's more like the luxury, living with inside that small container, basically?
Yeah, I mean, everything about it is gorgeous. I mean, yeah. We do full ceiling to floor glass windows, seamless on the floor and ceilings.
I bet you, man. Like, I do Airbnbs on the side and rentals. It'd be interesting to go and buy plots of land in really cool places like lakes and stuff like that and just put these in there. Do you have people doing that?
What you're talking about is our prime model.
Yeah, that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. All right. So you guys are familiar with Margaritaville, like the whole resort style living.
Yep.
Okay. That is the prime methodology, is building the communities. So if an end user wants to buy one office, cool. Put it wherever you want as an ADU on your own property. But it's the development piece. And that's where we're really targeting, is talking to developers, talking to landowners, partnering up with the landowners, and showing that when we build these communities, it's one big thing about it is all the food that all the landscaping is all food landscaping. It's all food growing plants.
Really?
And yeah. And the planogram that we have is every four units, you have a hangout space. So you have your patio, you have a fire pit, you have an outdoor grill, you have an outdoor sink. And the psychological methodology to this is to bring communities together. You know, what I'm forecasting, especially with the younger demographic, is when you get these digital nomads all living together, think about the entrepreneurial incubator this becomes. And then when you're mixing them in with the retirees, the people that have experience, you're creating education and wisdom with today's tools. And it's almost like a reverse engineering of society to really bring the whole community-esque back. So on the property, it's the restaurant. On the property is the fitness center, the shared workspace. Someone wants the podcast. We have, you know, having the
podcast. So you're actually developing communities. Is it a play on multifamily in a way, or like a more luxurious or better version of a trailer park where you are the property manager managing the park and working with the developers there? Or are these people actually buying the homes from you?
Both. Again, matter of convenience. Okay. We wanted to make sure that we could meet and tailor to the end vision of as many as we can within the parameters of our box of what we're doing. Not divert too much off of custom variations. So we have franchise models. So if a property, a developer wants to have full ownership and full operation of it, cool. It's just branded as an Adapt product. If he wants to be a developer on his own and just have his own community and just have our product but not have an association with Adapt, they can do that. They become either a dealer of ours and resell the products themselves.
Okay.
Or we sell the products on our own plots of land and team up with other landowners.
Dang. Okay.
So we.
How
we
many have of these communities have you guys done so far since 2020?
We actually have our first one down in Florida, right outside of Orlando.
It's a perfect place.
Perfect. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's set up as a model site. So we bring everyone there. And what I love about it, it's the landscaping is all there. We have cows, we have bees, we have chickens running around, turkeys. It's beautiful. It's just
dude, seeing I got to see a picture of this. What's the website? What's the website called?
AdaptContainerHomes.com.
AdaptContainerHomes.com. Yeah, it's so interesting hearing you speak. Obviously, just insanely successful, man. And the way you process and think about life is just different, right? And that's what makes you so good. It goes back to what you said about the entrepreneurial. Like when I asked you, hey, what are the core principles? You went, you got to be passionate, it's vision. And how you talk about the homes, I want everybody to catch this because it's a golden nugget. Like, what is he going to? He's going to the social impact, the societal impact. Like you're so like honed in on this product is an amazing product. It's beautiful and everything like that. But the impact that it makes based upon the people coming together, old and young, and in the incubator of entrepreneurship, the sustainability aspect of it, and the environment and stuff like that you're doing, the beehives, the turkeys, the trees, food growing food, like all that stuff. I don't want people to miss, like that is a key trait of an entrepreneur because you're just so vision minded And this is a product that you're using to fulfill that vision of yours, which is pretty amazing.
I really appreciate that. That means a lot. I mean, this is going to be quite a journey. I mean, we're going to be opening up doors and that not haven't been touched yet, but trying to create a new gold standard of a new gold standard and a new term of living. You know, It's utilizing your domicile truly as just that, as your place to rest your head, to place to eat and place to be quiet. But with all the glass on the unit, and that's the reason we did so much glass and the big wraparound decks and all of the nature outside. It's to bring that peace and harmony from outside in and getting you to become part of a community again, but getting you to go outside, getting you
to
go take
a walk. Are you targeting like beach towns and stuff like that?
Yeah. So our goal with this is targeting anywhere within 1 hour. So we found this beautiful piece of property in Austin. We're waiting for the border, the water rights to come back to see if we have access to it. But anywhere within about 1 hour from any commercial airport to provide for convenience, which is also generally within a good distance for getting into any metro area. So if you want to get into an urban environment, it's no more than an hour drive away. We're targeting outside and triangulating some of the larger private universities because, you know, if you look at the dormancy costs from these private universities, you know, they're spending about $35,000 a year for four years. They can't live there over summer. And hey, parents that have college kids, here's a great way that you could co-sign an equitable item that you're going to be spending the same amount of money on, putting it down near their campus.
Yeah, that's another great use case. College students, seniors, vacation, like rentals, Airbnb, a ton of great use cases for the product.
Yeah, and for the Airbnb, so we also have a model set up just strictly for like Airbnb investors and such. And we calculated it at $150 a night and 80% occupancy. It's a 2.7 year ROI on the unit.
Yeah, so. That's crazy, dude. That's amazing. Yeah, congrats, dude. You're great.
I want to know when's the book coming out.
Yeah, seriously. How living in my yacht changed my life or something like that.
Charles, man, it has been an amazing talk. Love hearing your journey. Love hearing this, all the new ideas that you have. Before we close out, let people know how they can get in touch with you, learn more about Adapt.
I mean, you guys can start following us on our social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, TikTok. And we have a great team running that. It's all Adapt Container Homes, consistent with the branding. The website is adaptcontainerhomes.com. And, you know, we would love to talk to realtors. We think that this is a cool product. It's not sold as an MLS, but it's sold more so as an individual product itself. You know, landowners, developers, a lot of landowners, they don't know what to do with their land. So what are they doing? They're just looking to sell their land and get out. And where we can come in and say, hey, we can give you a really good opportunity. Let us come in, let us develop your land for you. We do all of our market research and everything, but we're looking forward to this. I really think that this is going to help create a big impact, a solution for the shortage of houses. I think this will really create an impact for the young people to really find themselves, find that purpose, because they're living in an environment being inspired by everyone else around them. It's almost like when you go to the gym, you always want to push yourself a little bit more just because you see the people around you pushing themselves. This is what that community will entail do.
I like it, man. Thank you again. And thank you all so much for listening. You can get those links to everything to connect with Charles as well as Adapt Container Homes over at the show notes on staypaidpodcast.com. And you'll get the video for all of our episodes there as well. If you want, if you enjoyed this episode and want to show your support, you can head on over to Apple Podcasts, drop us a 5-star review along with the comment. We'll read it here on the show. And the best way to support the show is to simply share this episode with someone that you know. If you want to get hold of me or Luke, you can email us at podcast@remindermedia.com. And of course, you can follow us on social media as well. We are at Stay Paid Podcast. For this episode of Stay Paid, I'm Joshua Steich.
Guys, I'm Luke Acree. Charles, thank you so much, man. I'm going to look into your product because I see so many use cases, especially from the Airbnb investor side, that type of side too. I see so many use cases. My action item for everybody listening to this, right? You're listening to an entrepreneur tell about their journey and just their thought process and why they do what they do. And I want to take it back to the fundamentals of what this you heard from the show, which is in your business, if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, two things really have to happen. One, you've got to be willing to think outside the box and do things that might seem to others counterintuitive. Right. If you look at all the great people in the world that have ever changed the world, ever done something really unique, ever really stood out, they stood alone for a period of time. So one, that is one thing to be successful. But the second, which goes back to what Charles said, which is really what I want you to focus on for your action item, is, hey, you got to have vision, passion, and you got to be genuine about it. Right. If you remember that advice that he gave you. So my challenge to you today is, one, what is your vision? What's your purpose there that you have? What is the passion and reason why you have that? And then being genuine and living that out every single day, because your vibe attracts your tribe. And if you constantly are trying to keep up with the Joneses, you'll never have a successful life and you probably won't have a successful business. Remember, the difference between top producers and mediocre producers in every industry is top producers take action. Take action on that today.